I please God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. And let's turn to the Song of Solomon and chapter 2, and we'll read the third verse. The second chapter in the Song of Solomon and reading verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Song of Solomon gives us very many beautiful pictures, and those pictures are there to direct us not to the physical view that we see, but to a spiritual view. But these natural pictures are given to us so that we can appreciate more easily the spiritual blessings which they contain. It's really the deep that coucheth beneath. And so as we read the Song of Solomon, there are wonderful truths and wonderful blessings directed to the Church of God and to individually to the Bride of Christ. And therefore, we should not ignore the Song of Solomon. Sometimes people think, well, it's so difficult to understand, I'll just pass over it and I won't read it. Well, it is a book which is worth reading and worth pondering and worth meditating upon. Well, here this evening in this third verse, we have such a picture which is really very helpful to us. And the picture is of an apple tree among the trees of the wood. And no doubt the choice of an apple tree here is to show to us the benefits that such a fruitful tree has. There are many trees, of course, many varieties of trees in the world today, many beautiful trees to look at, and many trees have great assets. But it is, of course, obvious that those trees which bear fruit, or should I say bear edible fruit, are those which are more attractive and which are more suitable and are more useful to natural people. And so we see here this picture of an apple tree being selected among the trees of the wood. Now, apple trees generally are not very great, the big trees. Some are bigger than others, but they're not like cedars, and they are generally smaller trees. But when they are looked upon, when they have fruit, and they are very attractive, and especially as one anticipates that as the fruit ripens, then the fruit can be eaten. And of course, the picture here is not just of a tree with fruit that can be eaten. It also describes to us it is a tree which in hot weather can provide very suitable shade, and it's described as a shadow. So we have a picture then before us of a fruitful tree, an apple tree, which provides shadow. And indeed, how necessary perhaps it is sometimes to enjoy the wonderful blessing naturally of a shadow of an apple tree and also be able to partake of the fruit. Now then, the illustration then leads us on to this picture, and we're told that I sat down under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Well, we must be directed. I'm sure you appreciate directly to who this represents. And of course it represents none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Song of Solomon really speaks much of Christ and the bride of Christ. Christ as the heavenly bridegroom and the church of God as the bride. Well, here we have this picture then. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And the first thing we notice is that there was that sitting down. And when we do sit down, we're not then rushing about. The day and age in which we live is a day of rushing and tearing from one place to another. And the problem with that is there is often very little time to really properly think or properly meditate. And it's good, therefore, when we can, as it were, sit down. So here was this picture. I sat down. Well, may we be found sometimes then in our spiritual journey, as it were, coming aside and sitting down. And as we sit down, to realise, well, the benefit of being under the shadow. You know, we have pictures of the shadow in the Word of God, and Isaiah tells us on at least two occasions of the benefit of this shadow and the how it can be a great help. And in the 25th chapter we read, fourth verse, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." Well, I believe this does give us, does it not, some description of a Christian journeying through life, through the wilderness. And it speaks here of Almighty God, and we're told, "Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." Well, here we have the description that the Lord is a strength to the poor and to the needy. To those who are strong in themselves, who don't realise how poor they are and how needy they are, they won't see, they won't find any attraction to look out of themselves, to look to the Saviour, the great and blessed Redeemer. They'll carry on in their own strength. And then here we have this statement, a refuge from the storm. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, God's people prove that, that God is to them a wonderful refuge, a place where people can go and find a place, a hiding place, and then a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Now, the picture surely is that we do find we have to face blasts from the evil one, blasts from the devil. And sometimes those blasts can be very hot. They can be very hot against us. And as it were, make us almost willing to give up the journey of life. The path's too hard, it's just too hot. And the devil tries to turn us out of the way and tries to stop us from journeying on. And so this is a good description, isn't it? The shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So, when the devil brings us into times of trial, times of great temptation. And you know, we're not strong in and of ourselves. We're not able really to withstand the blast of the devil ourselves. And therefore, what a mercy when the Lord comes and directs us to a situation like this, where we can come and sit down under the shadow, under his shadow, the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where, and of course, in a shadow, as we know, a shadow from the sun is a great relief. A great relief, is it not, to find a shadow in when it's a very hot time. Isaiah 32 verse 2 tells us again a very similar picture. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Well, when you and I are tempted, and we have to endure the onslaught of the devil, sometimes it gets very hot. Sometimes we get very weary of his temptations, the continual temptations that he brings into our hearts, into our minds, before our eyes. Perhaps we know what it is to be weary from it. And then to recognize such a truth as this: I sat down under his shadow with great delight. Why? Well, there was a wonderful relief. And in that place of shadow, it was that shadow of a great rock. And that great rock was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a shadow. What a shadow the Saviour casts to bring us relief. As we journey on through life with the burning heat of the day, the burning heat of our journey, what a wonderful favour it is to come and to sit down under this shadow. And as we sit down under this shadow, to view who it is that is providing this shadow, none less than the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful then to have a picture like this. As we journey, and physically we're not able perhaps to, as it were, come and sit under an apple tree, but spiritually we can come and we can sit down under the shadow of the Almighty, the great God, who is there to secure us, to give us some relief from the onslaughts of Satan. It is a place of safety. It is a place of favour. It is a place of blessing, because there we can sit down, and we're sat down. We're not up and running around. The devil's not chasing us then. There we are, sitting down, and we're under his shadow. Surely the description is correct: with great delight. It's a wonderful relief to be found near to the Saviour. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land means that you and I have to keep very close. The weary land, the heat of the sun in the Middle East and other hot places, you need a great rock to produce any shadow. A little rock is not much use. My friends, a great rock does produce a shadow, but nonetheless, there is a need to keep close to that great rock to enjoy the benefit of the shade that it gives from the sun. And so what a benefit it is for us, if God gives us grace, to keep close to the Saviour, close under his shadow. You see, when we're close by the Saviour, then it is that we learn of him. Then it is that we learn that the Saviour is instructing us, and the Saviour is teaching us in the way that we should go. And the Saviour is showing us something of ourself, something of the evil of sin, something of the wretchedness of it, something of the terribleness of it, and how there's no peace as we find ourselves drawn aside, drawn into by the temptation of Satan, into some worldly situation, the blast of the evil one. Oh, the heat there is, and there's no peace. Why? Because our conscience is pricked, our conscience is moved, we realise that we're sinning against Almighty God. What a blessing then. The Lord comes in and brings us to this place to sit down under his shadow. And then to recognise the great benefit there is of being found near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not then be found under the heat of the devil's blast. Yes, it's a great delight. And it's a great delight when we realise in that position the amazing mercy of God. It's a delight to know we haven't been cut off. We haven't been cast away. Because his mercy endureth forever. Surely that is a place which produces a great delight. As we're under his shadow, we're close to the Lord, and he shows us how gracious he is. The amazing grace that he's bestowed upon us in enabling us to seek to this place of refuge, to come to this place of shelter, to come under this shadow, and to be found enjoying that nearness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not great delight? As we ponder in that position, remember we're sat down, we're not rushing around, we're sat down and we can calmly consider his great grace to such unworthy sinners, those who've wandered away, those who've been far off. The Lord's brought them back. The Lord's brought us back. It may be that we've come to ourselves, as it were, like the prodigal son, when he began to be in want. He came to himself, and what did he remember? His father's house. What a mercy that is when you and I are brought to remember our father's house and to return and to be found sitting down under the shadow of the Saviour with then great delight that the Lord hasn't dealt with us as our sins deserve. Humbled are we not then under the mighty hand of God, to be able to sit still and like Ruth was told, sit still to see how the matter will fall. See, in those places then, under this shadow, it's there that we receive the guidance and the direction from the good hand of our God. It's not a time when we're rushing around and we do not hear his voice. You see, the bride here, as we read in these chapters, how she wanted to know and to hear the voice of her beloved, the voice whom her soul loveth. And isn't it interesting to read in this third chapter, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. And I believe that's a true experience of the true Church of God. There are those times, those night seasons perhaps, when we seek unto the Lord, and yet we do not find him. I found him not. Now, it's right to seek the Lord. But my friend, sometimes We have to wait patiently for him until he brings us to this place where we can then sit down under his shadow with great delight. The bride here, she went about the city and the broad ways. She still couldn't find him. And the watchmen, which of course are the preachers, they go about the city, found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Well, after a little time, we read, "I found him whom my soul loveth." Yes, my friends, and remember what the word tells us, they that seek shall find. They that seek shall find. Do not be discouraged if you appear not to be finding. The time will come when the Lord will come and bless you in this way, so you'll be able to declare, "I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." Well, surely this would be a time of blessing, wouldn't it? When you sit down under the shadow with great delight that the Lord has heard your prayers, great delight that the Lord has brought you to this place, great delight that the Lord has given you a prayer, given you a desire to pray for the blessing of the Lord, to pray that he might reveal himself unto you as it is not unto the world. It's the blessing of God, and surely when you and I are blessed with this understanding that the Lord has put us in this place under his shadow, and we've sat down and we can then meditate upon his goodness and his favour, and we realise then the truth of those words, "He led them forth by the right way." God does lead us by the right way. Not the wrong way, but the right way, so that we then appreciate his goodness to us, his mercy to us, his favour to us. You know, if things were just obtained easily without any prayer, they wouldn't be appreciated, would they? There wouldn't be any great delight. And the great delight surely is, because often these things are not easy to come by. And we're not told it was here there was an orchard of apple trees. We're just told there was an apple tree, the apple tree, amongst the trees of the wood. Just a place where the Lord brought us, where the Lord does bring us, under his shadow. What a blessing it is then to be found there. And so here we have these words, "I sat down under his shadow with great delight." Now, having sat down and having enjoyed the delight of being found near to the Saviour, and my friends, it is a delight in our spiritual life when the Lord does draw us to him, near to himself. And we know what it is then to be found close to the Saviour. And it is a delight. Delight to our souls. "I sat down under his shadow with great delight." And then we read, "And his fruit was sweet to my taste." And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Well, where does our fruit come from? Where does it come from? It only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? We can think naturally, can we not, of being weary and sheltering under an apple tree and reaching up and taking the fruit and found how sweet it is to our taste and how lovely it is. Well, far, far greater it is to know this in a spiritual sense, that as we may be blessed to sit down under his shadow and then to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I believe we can think of this fruit in several ways. Firstly, think of it with regards to the Saviour himself and to feeding upon Christ. Feeding upon Christ. And what does that mean? It means feeding upon his death. You may say, well, how can I feed upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? What we can do is to meditate upon the cost of our salvation. Meditate upon the Saviour's life and death. Meditate upon the great cost of our salvation. And sometimes it's a wonderful blessing to be sat down, as it were, quietly under the shadow and to think upon Christ. Think why the Saviour came into this world. Why was he born in Bethlehem's manger? Why did he live a perfect life? Why did he live? Why did he die that sacrificial death? To save our souls. To save your soul. To save my soul. Now surely our meditation of him then shall be sweet. His fruit is sweet. The meditation, therefore, is sweet as we meditate upon what Christ has done. On his great sacrifice. And then to think that our hearts or perhaps our minds are led to think of the glorious picture we have throughout the Word of God of that sacrifice for sin. The sacrifice for sin, what did it involve? It involved the shedding of blood. It involved death. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. And to ponder these things, to go back in our thoughts throughout the Word of God to the days of in the Garden of Eden, when the Lord killed those animals to produce those skins to cover Adam and Eve. Yes, what a picture we have there of shed blood. What a picture we have there of the righteousness required. And we can move on, can we not? As we go through the Word of God, to think of Abraham's day. Think of the glorious scene up on Mount Moriah when he was commanded to offer up his only son, Isaac. And he was willing to do his father's will, to the will of Almighty God. But he was stopped in the last moment from killing his son, and there was that substitute, that ram caught by its horns in the thicket. What a beautiful picture it is it not, of substitution? The Lord Jesus Christ substituted for us, dying that death that we deserve to die. My friends, but our death would not have atoned for our sin. And that's why the Saviour lived that perfect life to atone for our sin. He was our substitute. His fruit was sweet to my taste. And surely, as you and I are able to meditate upon such a picture, to think of the glory of it and the great significance and the importance and the relevance to our case individually, to know that Christ died in my place, in your place. His fruit was sweet to my taste. His fruit. What a glorious picture, isn't it? Of the Saviour dying in our place. And then we can think of the Passover, the institution of that Passover on that night to be remembered. Israel were told to remember it, yes, and to carry out that Passover ceremony every year so they would remember it. And the great significance was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a wonderful blessing to know that when God looks upon us. He sees the blood of his blessed Son and our Saviour and passes over us so that we live. We're blessed with eternal life. The wonderful picture we have, and don't forget, there was the lamb roast in the fire, signifying the Saviour having to endure the wrath of God. He endured, my friends, the wrath of God due to you and to me because of our sin. The wrath of God upon us, the wrath of God that was due to us. But the Saviour bore that wrath. His fruit was sweet to my taste. And of course, we can go on. We know there was the continual burnt sacrifice they had to offer up every day. Every day a reminder of the terribleness of sin. Every day a reminder of the need to be absolved from that sin. That sin should be taken away. That sin should be washed away. All directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we come then to the fulfillment of all those pictures that we have in the Old Testament. When we see the wonderful picture that was there. And then the reality of it being fulfilled in the life and death, resurrection and ascension of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, is this not fruit which is sweet to our taste? Do we not feed then upon Christ? Is it not blessed food as we may then by faith drink his blood and eat his flesh? As the Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, there is no life in you. But as by faith we're able to behold the Lamb of God and to partake of this blessed fruit, you see, is there not a comfort to our souls? Is there not a realization that we are amongst those who the Lord has saved, the Lord has died for, because these things are sweet to our taste? It's really a very discerning statement. Because if these things are not sweet to our taste, then what it means is there's no reality in our religion. Because here we have a description of the Church of God and what was made a blessing to the Church of God. And therefore, today, as we look at ourselves, to realise that this is what is made a blessing to us today. And his fruit was sweet to my taste, this fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, and think that now he is ascended on high. And there he is interceding for us today as our great and glorious high priest. There was only that one way into the holy place, wasn't there? Not without blood. The high priest, not without blood. He entered into the holy place. The Lord Jesus Christ has entered into the holy place, heaven itself, not without blood. He shed his blood once. He gave his life once, and that was sufficient. And there, through him today, we have blessed access unto God the Father through the death, through the shed blood of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. His fruit was sweet to my taste. Surely that is sweet fruit, isn't it? To think that we have such an high priest who has entered in to that glorious place. And there he lives forever, sitting on the throne at the Father's right hand, interceding for us at all times. And therefore, as we're, as it were, sat down under this shadow and are able to pray to our God, commit our way unto him and realize our prayers are sent up acceptably through the Beloved, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Well, I believe that is so blessedly true, but also I think there's the other scene that we have of fruitfulness. And I believe when the Lord brings us into these places, there is this rejoicing and this blessing as we realize the favor of God toward us. Remember in the Galatians, in the 5th chapter, we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And surely this is the fruit which God gives to us. It's his fruit. And how sweet it is, sweet to my taste, to realize that God gives us these blessings, because they are not something you and I produce ourselves. It's God's gift to us. And as we are able to realize God has been so gracious to us and given us these gifts, does it not bring that sweet taste to our mouth? Because it shows to us the goodness of the Lord, and it shows us the picture we have here of the Saviour, and our desire to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow his gracious and blessed example. And so if we are founded right, if we are planted in that good ground, if we do have a good root which is founded rightly, founded upon that conviction of sin, founded upon that evidence that we must have Christ, and we realize that Jesus is the one thing needful. If we have that foundation, then you see, we shall then realize the favor we have of the fruit of the Spirit, as the Lord shows to us what he's done for us, and in doing so much for us, to give us that desire to follow him in these ways, and the effect that his Spirit has in our souls, which enables us to do these things, not for our glory, but for his glory, and to be humbled, to realize that this is the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord has given to us. And so we read, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, where do we start? Love to the Saviour. Fruit, his love to us. Evidence of his work in our soul. Love, his love, and our love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It delivers us from the hardness of our hearts. It softens us when we realize his great love toward us. When we think of those words, "Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have drawn thee." To know, yes, the Lord has drawn me. The Lord has loved me. And there is therefore the evidence of that fruit, our love to him. Now we may feel it's very small, but I believe this, when the Lord gives us the evidence of that love in our hearts to the Saviour, it's the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit was sweet to our taste. We're thankful the Lord's granting us love. Joy. Joy. Not a natural joy, but a spiritual joy. A joy to know that the Lord has delivered our soul from the wrath to come. Joy to know the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us in glory. Joy to know that one day we shall be with him forever in glory. Joy to know that he's redeemed us with his precious blood. Surely this is a fruit of the Spirit. Surely this is an evidence of God's great favour toward us. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Heavenly joy, it's not earthly joy. It's a heavenly joy. It's a blessed joy. And then peace. Peace. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made. And then, as the Lord gives us faith to view the Saviour dying upon that cross and through his death, bringing that peace. Peace. Long suffering. That's not something you and I possess, perhaps naturally. But you see, God's grace, God's favour, can make us long suffering. I believe is that the secret of the Lord, which is them that fear him. And that secret of the Lord is that the Lord shows us that he's leading us and he's teaching us and he's making us conformable unto his image as he directs us to himself in his wonderful long suffering toward us. And then as he gives us that grace to be long suffering to others. I believe such an experience is sweet to our taste. Again, not for our own gratification, but because of his great favour toward us. And similarly, gentleness and goodness. These are the great gifts of our God. These are the evidences of that show the fruit of the Spirit. And these are the things which grant to us this wonderful favour of knowing something of these words. Yes, his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then, faith. God gives us faith. He's brought us here. We're sat down under his shadow. With great delight, he's given us faith to believe that all things are working together for good to those who love God and to those who are called upon according to his purpose. He gives us faith to believe that all things are well. He gives us faith to trust in him. He gives us faith to cast all our burdens upon the Lord. He gives us faith to go in his strength, to make mention of his righteousness and of his only. It is a wonderful favour then to have the blessing of this fruitfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, here we have then, do we not, in a few words really, this picture that we have with this apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. So is my beloved among the sons. Now, it's a wonderful favour to realise that we are beloved of our God. Beloved of our God. When we think of it, we look at ourselves. We wonder, however, could God love us? My friends, it's an amazing truth. And as I said, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So is my beloved among the sons. Among the sons. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Adopted into the glorious family. And to be part of that family. And there will be no separation. No separation. Once in him forever. And so tonight, can we not rejoice in such words? And know something of being softened and our hard heart broken down, as it were, as we think of these great truths, as they may be blessed to us. And by the grace of God, apply to our hearts so we may truly rejoice in them and be able to say, yes, I sat down, personal evidence, I sat down under his shadow with great delight and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Amen.